Father, Herschel Malone. So thank you for being here, and let's welcome him here.
He said to sit down, so I figured I'd just go ahead and sit down. But we are just glad to be here this morning. You know, I'm thankful that God had saved me a long time ago and just set my feet upon that solid rock. You know, we got something to shout about here this morning. Surely God is in this place this morning, and I can feel him, and I hope and pray that you can feel him here this morning. And I pray that this morning, if you do not know God as your personal Savior, before you leave this place, you'll know him as your personal Savior. Because I tell you, I know a man that can change your life. And I tell you, there's other people here, deacons, that can tell you the same story that I can tell you about how God truly loves you. So it is truly a blessing to be here this morning. And I apologize that you don't have anything on the screen. I told Daniel, I said, my notes are... they would never make heads or tails out of anything that I put up on that. So he knows that I have a hard time with things like that. So you'll just have to bear with me. And I know that, as I said, I'm thankful for Brother Tom being here. I know that it's sometimes hard for him when I don't maybe do things in the right way. But and I'm glad that he was able to fill in and do a lot of things this morning. So Daniel's got a great man of God to help him when he needs help. So I'm thankful for that. But we're going to look over in Psalms chapter 23 here this morning, and you continue to pray that God's will be done. And so you continue to pray for me this morning. I know that Psalms 23 is very familiar scripture. You've heard it preached on many different times. You've heard maybe many preachers preach on this, and I preached on it a time or two, and I preached on the names that you can find here in Psalms chapter 23, but we're not going to be looking at the names that you can find. But we're just going to be looking about how great God loves us. You can see how that the shepherd provides protection for his sheep, and how much more God loves you and I, that he'll provide that same protection for you and I when we get saved. So we're going to be taking a trip with a shepherd this morning as he begins to lead his flock. And that's what we're going to look at as the Lord being our shepherd. But we're going to read the very first verse, and then we'll cover it verse by verse here in just a few moments. But here it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall we pray? Father, as we come to you, as humble as we know how, Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, that if there's people here under the sound of my voice that cannot say what the psalmist David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, when they leave this place, surely they can come to a place in a house salvation in their life here this morning, and that they too can say, the Lord truly is my shepherd. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with this service this morning. Lord, that you'll just move in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray that this morning that your will be done and not mine. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. And we be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But we can begin to look here, and it says what? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And as we begin to look there as the Lord being our shepherd, I can see that the psalmist David knew exactly what he was talking about. Why? Because the psalmist David was just a shepherd boy. And sometimes the life of a shepherd was a very lonely life. You can see that they'd go out into the fields and they were alone. And a lot of times nobody but them and their little sheep all together there. What a lonely life. But you see, the Lord was a shepherd also. And that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. I'm not going to be looking at David as he was a shepherd, but we can see that there's a trip that's about to be taken. A shepherd is going to lead his flock out into to feed them and into the fields. And that's what we're going to look at, about how that a shepherd would take care of his sheep and how God would take care of us. But first of all, why do we need a shepherd here this morning? Have you ever really thought why that we need a Savior? The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, what does it say? It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Because of the disobedience of one man, it says that we all become sinners. And so therefore we find that's why we have a need for a shepherd. And I hope and pray this morning, as I said in a prayer, that if you cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd, I pray that you can really know him as your Lord and Savior before you leave this place this morning. But what a joy that we have to know that he loves us and he can take care of us. What a joy there is in serving God. And so as we begin to look, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. First of all, you can find that there's three references in the Scripture, in the New Testament, about the Lord being our shepherd. First of all, over in John chapter 10, the Bible begins to speak that He is a good shepherd. And so as I find that it speaks about Him as being a good shepherd, what is a good shepherd? The Bible says over in John chapter 10, says a good shepherd will give his life for his sheep. And so therefore we find that here the Lord Jesus Christ is truly a good shepherd. He died for my sins and He died for your sins here this morning. Have you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Is He the good shepherd in your life? And then we find there's the great shepherd over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. It begins to speak about Him arising from the dead, and He begins to live for us as the great shepherd. It shows there that He is a shepherd that cares for you and I today. I'm thankful that I got a Lord that cares about my soul. The Bible says to cast your cares upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. And then we continue on to look at the shepherd. As he says, the psalmist David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And then we find that the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, what does it say? It says here that He is the chief shepherd. And the Bible says, what is the chief shepherd? The Bible says that one day that He's coming back to take His children home. As it was said in Sunday school this morning, we're either going to go by the grave or we'll go by the rapture. But one day the Lord is getting ready to come back. So He's the chief shepherd. He's coming back to reward you and I one of these days. And I know that I'm going home and that to be with God. And so as we look at the chief shepherd, how that He's coming back. But then we find, as I said, we're going to take a journey with the shepherds here in just a few moments as they begin to lead their flock. But then we find something else about the sheep and the shepherd. A lot of times, maybe after they get through leading their flock, and maybe in the evening time, what happens? They begin to come back, and they find a sheepfold. It's public property. And a lot of times, they may put two or three different kinds of herds in that sheepfold. It's got four walls. It's got an entrance that you can walk through. But there's no gate. There's no door. And then, as I said, the Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad this morning that we can know that He is our shepherd and how that He protects us and the kind of love that we can have this morning to know that we're loved by a great shepherd called the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that here that a lot of these sheep will begin to go in, but there's no doorway. So what happens? Well, you can find that the shepherd himself will set down into that doorway, and he'll set guard over his flock, and he'll not let nothing come in to harm his flock. But then as I see that shepherd sitting there in that doorway, Jesus said over in John chapter 10, what did He say? He said, I am the door, and if any man come in by me, he shall be saved. So you see, He is that door, and He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. And so as I begin to look here, I find that Jesus is that way. There's a lot of people today, you can turn the TV on, and there's a lot of evangelists comes on, and they'll say, all you got to do is be good, and all you can just give me money, and everything's going to be all right. But I'm telling you, that's not the way to get into heaven. Jesus said, I'm the only way. And so if you try to sneak in the tabernacle, the Bible said that there was only one door. And so you see, Jesus made it that way. God made it that way. He says, I am that way. And so as we begin to look now, we find not only that, but after the night time rolls around, in morning time, it's sunrise. Now it's time for the shepherd to begin to lead his flock away. What begins to happen when they begin to do that? As I said, there's three or four maybe different groups of sheep inside that fold, but then the shepherd will stand outside, and he'll begin to call for his sheep, and those little lambs that belong to him will come out. The others that does not belong to him will stay in there until their master begins to call. Over in John chapter 10, what does it say? He says that my sheep, they know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So God is speaking here to you and I this morning. Can you hear him? A lot of times the devil speaks, and he tries to get us into trouble. He tries to lead us astray. And so we say that he leads us astray, but we can listen to God this morning. And he's speaking to your hearts this morning. He's telling you there's some things in your life that you need to get straightened out this morning. He's saying that all you have to do is come to me, and he says, I'll protect you, and I'll take care of you. Let's not listen to the devil no more here. Let's begin to have victory, and let's have that victory in God this morning and see what we can have, the joy that you can have in your life. So we find that after the sheep begins to come out, and there was one time there was a guy that was a great imitator of voices. And he said, you know, I believe I can get your sheep to follow me. And he stood out and he began to call for those sheep. And they would not even come out, even though he was a great imitator. And that's what I said here this morning. He knows, we know his voice when he begins to call. But then as we begin to continue to look through the second part of that verse, it says that I shall not want. And as the shepherd begins to lead his flock out and he begins to go, we'll look at this in just a few moments. But it says, I shall not want. So what does the Bible begins to tell us about this? Well, you find that, as I said, different names you can find in Psalms chapter 23. And this is one of the second names that you can find here, Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? That means the Lord will provide. Now, where do you come up with this name? Well, you can look over in Genesis. And here it says, I shall not want. So you see, God will take care of our needs. He'll supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And I'm thankful that he supplied my needs here this morning. A long time ago, I was lost and undone. I was headed to a place called hell. You know, I had no life, no hope. My life was just miserable. But I'm thankful that he saved me a long time ago, and he supplied that need. And so now, even today, he still supplies my need. He takes care of me. You may be down and out here this morning, and you've got great needs in your life. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to look to me this morning, and you don't have to look to the deacons, but you can look up to God, because he said, I'll supply your needs. And so we find that Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Over in Genesis, we begin to find a man called Abraham, and God began to speak to Abraham. And what did he say to him? We'll try to hurry up, make sure we'll not hold you over long this morning. But, you know, this is good this morning, that sometimes we need a comforting message to show how that God loves us. But as we begin to look here, I shall not want Jehovah Jireh. And so we find that Abraham was told what? Said, take your only son Isaac, and I want you to offer him up on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. And so here, Abraham, in his life before, many a time God called him what? He called him out of the land of Ur Chaldees. That means the land of flames and destruction. And you know, does that sound familiar? Well, a long time ago, brother, when God called me, I was headed to a place of land of flames and destruction. I was headed to a place called hell. But you see, he called me out from that. And brethren, he set my feet upon the solid rock. And I began a journey just like Abraham. And you too began that same journey. We're just a pilgrim in this old land. But one day I'm going home, and that to be with God. And I'm thankful that my journey will end that day. But as I begin to look here, Abraham, many a time in his life, throughout faith, he failed God. And there's been times in my life I'm not perfect. There's been times that I failed God, Brother Don. There's times God told me to do something, and I just said, no, I can't do that. And I remember when God called me to preach, I said, no. I just held on, and I cried, and I held on to that bench. I said, God, I'm just so nervous, and I still have a nervous problem today. But when God calls you, he'll give you the strength to do something. He'll supply that need. And, brethren, he supplied my need. When I knelt and I humbled myself, I said, God, here I am. I'm nothing much, but I offer my life to you, and I'll preach if that's what you want me to do. But here we find that Abraham began that journey, and there was a time in his life that he said, God said, I want you to go to Canaan land, the promised land. But it said that there was a famine that came into the land. And what happened? He said, the Bible said that he went down to Egypt. He turned around and not headed to the place. He didn't rely upon God. There was a famine in the land. He went down to Egypt, a picture and a type of the world. And so there he began to fail around. And it caused trouble between him and Lot. And you know how the Bible and how the story goes. But eventually he got to a place there in Genesis chapter 22. That he got to a place that he grew in faith. That when God spoke to him, then he says, yes, Lord, I'll take my only son and I'll offer him up for a sacrifice. You see, many times he failed, but this time he got to a point. Church, it's time that we get to a point in our life that we've grown in faith, that when God tells you to do something, let us do the possible and then let him do the impossible. He can get the job done. but he'll supply our needs to get the job done. And so he offered up his son. He took him up there, and he had the wood and the fire, and he drawed back that knife as he tied his son up to kill his only son that God had gave him. And then we find that God said, okay, Abram, don't do that. There's a ram caught in the thicket. Let's offer him up for the sacrifice. And so as we begin to see how the story went, he took and let him go. You see, that ram became Isaac's his substitute there in that sacrifice that was to be offered up. And then as we find that he was set free, you know, it should have been me that died on that old rugged cross. It should have been us dying on that cross for our sins. But you see, he provided a sacrifice. He provided that substitute for you and I. So I'm thankful that he became that substitute, and that it was him that died on that old rugged cross, that I could have a way to go to heaven this morning. I'm thankful today that he provided that way. And you see, he says, we'll call this place Jehovah Jireh. He says, because the Lord will provide. And so then as we begin to continue to move on, we begin to take a trip now. Let's look here in the verse 2, in the two parcels here today. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so first of all, we find here that he says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, we begin to find that the shepherd begins to lead his flock. And you know, a shepherd never drives his flock. He's always a leader. He's always out in front of his herd, and they begin to follow him. And so the shepherd begins to walk, and a lot of times maybe there's some leaves on a tree or something that the sheep cannot reach, and he'll grab hold of them, and then he'll put them down behind his back. And those sheep that are following the closest will get that special treat. They'll begin to nibble out of his hand. He won't stop, but he just keeps walking, and he begins to give them a special treat. What does that say about you and I here this morning? It says that we need to follow close to God. If you want a true blessing here this morning, you be one of those that are on fire for God. You begin to say, God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to go. And brethren, I tell you, you're going to receive a blessing here this morning if you're one of those that are kind of trying to follow God up close and personal. So it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We find that as he comes here, we find that he sees ahead, he sees a big, steep hill that they're going to have to climb. And so the shepherd says, right here is just a great place for us to stop and rest. It's a green meadow. You know, the green grass is just real pretty. It's real peaceful to look at. And so they stop. And he lets them stop there for rest, because he knows that ahead of them, there's going to be a hill to climb. And they need rest. You know, sometimes we're living in a day, especially around Christmas, we're always in a hurry. You know, I go to my job, I get up in the morning, I eat me a breakfast bar, I'll drink my glass of milk, and then I'm ready to go to work. And then I get to work, and I freeze half to death there. That's why I got a cold this morning, because we don't have no heat there at work. So I'm always in a hurry. And then I hurry home, and then I go ahead and eat my supper, and I'll sit down and rest, and then I'll hurry up and get up the next day. But sometimes we as Christians, we need to just to stop and rest just for a few moments, because, you know, there's a mountain that we're going to climb, and we need to have rest. But let's look over in the scripture here in just a moment, and you continue to pray. I just want to turn here, and this will be the only scripture that we turn to, over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. We need to rest sometimes. And let's look here. As he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. But here, over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So you see, sometimes we need to rest. And the Lord says that he'll renew our strength. Brethren, sometimes you might be here this morning, and you're just weary. You know, there's been times that, as I said before, that I stood up late at night, and I had three children at home, and I tried to pastor and preach at churches and do things, and I was always in a hurry. I was just wore out a lot of times. And there's been times that I thought, man, I just need to quit. This is just not worth it. But you see, God will never let us quit. You know, we just need sometimes just to come and just rest just for a few moments. And then when we get that rest, he'll renew our strength, and we'll be ready to go. You know, sometimes, as I said, it's so peaceful just to look at the green grass just take time to smell the roses. And, you know, I have a clover field at the house, and when the clover begins to bloom out and it's red, it just looks so nice. My wife, sometimes she'll go out and she'll take pictures of the butterflies there, and it's just so nice to look at and just to stop and just look around at God's creation, and it's just peaceful to your soul. We need that here this morning. But then let's look at the latter part of this verse. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And as I begin to see here, then it's time for them to continue their journey. And then the second part of that verse, he leadeth me beside the still waters. We find that the shepherd began to lead his flock. And they get up on the top, and it's so hot out there that they're finally, they are about to thirst to death. They need a drink of water. But when the shepherd comes up there, he sees the water running down the rock. And there's no way that sheep can drink from running water. They would die of thirst, even though water would be there plenty for them to drink. They would die of thirst before they could drink from that running water. They just couldn't run from it or drink from it. So then we find that what will the shepherd do? Well, he's got a rod and a staff, and he'll begin to hollow out the ground a little bit, and he'll make several others of them, and the water will begin to puddle up, and then his sheep can take a drink from that water, and they'll be able to satisfy their thirst. Well, we find that the Lord has satisfied my thirst a long time ago. He's my shepherd this morning. But, brethren, before he came my shepherd, I was lost and undone, and I needed to drink from the fountain of God. And so we find that he came upon a Samaritan woman at the well. What did he say? He told that woman, said, if you'll drink from the water of this well, you're going to thirst again. But if you'll drink from the fountain that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. And brethren, I tell you, I've drunk from that fountain, and I've never thirsted again for my salvation, because I know that he's my Lord and my Redeemer liveth forevermore. So he leadeth me beside the still waters. He will take care of you this morning, and he's took care of other people here this morning. So then let's continue to move on quickly so that we can get through this scripture here this morning. And then we'll find that we're going to go ahead and move on into the third verse. And then it says here that there's two parts in this. And he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me of the path for his name's sake. At the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. The psalmist David knew exactly once again what the Lord was talking about. There's people here this morning, as the psalmist David, his soul had to be restored. And so as we begin to see here, we know that there was a time in the psalmist David's life that he turned his back upon God, and sin began to creep into his life. We find out how Bathsheba, and how that he went and had a child with her, another man's wife, and had her husband killed out on the battlefield, and all of this. And what did the psalmist David do? He began to cry out. He said, God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't have that joy and you don't have that peace, you know, we was talking about smiling in our Sunday school class this morning. And I've been told that, you know, it takes more muscles on your face to frown than it does to smile. Brethren, God put a smile upon my face, but he can restore that joy this morning. You can have peace with God if you only ask him. And so I'm telling you this morning, do you want that joy this morning? Do you want the joy of your salvation? I remember a long time ago when I first got saved, and how that I went out and I began to tell the young people what God had done for me and all of this. And, you know, sort of kind of like dating, you know, when my wife was the only person that I ever dated. And, you know, I was excited about that. As I said in my testimony, how that she was the love of my life, you know. I opened up car doors, and I'd done all of this, and we'd go into stores, and I'd hurry up, and even Ed, he might be smiling back there, but I caught him the other day opening, and he's still opening car doors for his wife, so, you know, we need to take lessons from him. But there's times that I, you know, as time rolls on, I quit doing that kind of stuff. I don't open up the car doors for my wife anymore. Now, I still open up doors when we go into the stores and things like that, but you know, it seems like it kind of just died down. Even in our Christian life, sometimes it's that same way. Things begin to die down. We're not excited anymore. Brother, he's still the same God. We still need to be excited. That doesn't mean I have any less love for my wife. I still love her to death, and I thank God for her. And I know that she loves me because there's been times that I've been sick and she stayed in the hospital with me night after night, and I just thank God for that. But I love God this morning, and I tell you, I prayed, and I stepped out behind the pulpit many a time, and I knelt down on my knees when I gave the altar call because I needed to have a talk with God myself. So he restores that soul, but he leads us into the path of righteousness, and that's what the verse says there in chapter 3, verse 3. And I tell you, we need to have right living this morning. He leads us in the right way. The path of prayer needs to be restored this morning. Brethren, those are the kind of paths that we shall be led down. And he wants us to pray, but so many times we fail to pray and just thank God for what he's done. A lot of times we just spend our time in prayer. God, I need this. God, I need that. But when was the last time that we just said, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for bringing me through this. And so we see that he leads us into the path of peace. You know, I tell you, when I was a kid, I had no peace in my life. Many a time, as I told you in my testimony, that I was just a small kid cutting. I was just riding a tricycle when I ran away many different times. And many times I didn't get even outside the window before I got caught and got a whipping. But, you know, I had no peace. But I tell you, when God came into my heart, my life, brethren, I began to have a peace that's way down inside my heart. And so you too can have that peace. If you're searching for something today, you can have peace with God. But then we'll continue to move on as we continue before we close here in just a little while. But then we find here in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. First of all, notice, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We see that the shepherd, he's leading his flock. David will go through a valley, maybe mountains on both sides, and the sun is shining, it's awful hot, and then we find that behind every rock, there could be a bad wild animal, there could be a robber, a thief, or whatever, back there to cause trouble. But you see, as he begins to go through, and he's leading his flock through there, he might see a shadow of something. He might look, and, you know, I can see my shadow right now, my hand going up and down. But, you know, I could step on that shadow, and I could do whatever I want to because that shadow will not hurt me. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't have to fear what the devil throws at me today. Brethren, I say again that a shadow can never hurt you. And so I don't have to worry about death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Because when I fall to death, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with God. So I'm thankful that one day that I'm going home. But I don't have to worry because I've got a Lord. I've got a shepherd that's watching out for me. And you don't have to worry about those shadows, anything in this that the devil throws at us here today. You're here and you're burdened down. You've got trouble in your life. Brethren, look to that great shepherd here this morning that we're preaching about because he can take care of those problems. I learned a long time ago, that all I have to do is kneel down. You know, many times we kneel down at an old-fashioned altar. We got problems and we got troubles and we'll come and say, well, Lord, I've got this problem in my life. But just as soon as we get up, we pack those problems back up and we carry them with us back to that bench. I'm saying here this morning, leave them there at the foot of the cross because God will take care of them. And it says, I will fear no evil. And then it says, thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. And, you know, once again, this should bring joy to our life and our heart here this morning because we see, as I said, that he's got a rod and he's got a crook on the end of it. And we can find that sometimes as they're journeying along, one of those sheep might begin to just kind of go astray a little bit and fall behind. And sometimes it might fall down a hillside or something and get caught in a thicket. Maybe it gets hurt when it falls because it was straggling behind a little bit. Well, you see, the shepherd knows that one of them's missing. And he'll go back and he'll see that one. And he can reach down with that crook and he'll pull it up. And he'll pick that little lamb and he'll hold it. And he'll begin to pet it and to make sure that it's not hurt. And he'll begin to carry that little lamb back to the fold. What gentleness and what comfort that it brings. As I said, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And he can bring that comfort and joy back to your life this morning Maybe you're here this morning, and some people don't like to use the word backslidden. But brethren, I tell you, there's people that turns their back upon the Lord. We find that Peter done the same way. And what happened to him after he had denied the Lord? He says, Lord, he says, I'm going fishing. He says, I'm going back to my old style of life. I'm going to go back and do the things that I've done. But you see, Jesus had met him there. And then we find that he says, come ashore. And there, as Peter denied the Lord three times, the Lord asked Peter three times, said, Peter, do you love me more than this old style of life that you went back to? He says, Lord, you know that I do. And then he told him to go on and to feed his sheep. So you see, we can have comfort this morning. Maybe you're struggling and straggling behind this morning. But if you want to have peace and you want to have joy, I tell you, you come back to the Lord. And then we can find that it'll bring comfort to you. And then we'll be closing here in just a few moments. But let's go ahead and let's look at the verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, you see, a shepherd, he loves his sheep, and he'll come to an open field that's full of grass and a good place to feed. But you see, a shepherd carries a bottle of hog oil, and a lot of times there's little vipers, little brown snakes that lives in the ground, and they can come up to that little hole out of the ground, and when a little lamb is nibbling on that grass, that viper can take a bite of them on their nose, and it will kill them because they're so poisonous. But what will the shepherd do? Well, he takes that bottle of oil, and he opens, and he walks through, and he begins to prepare a table for his sheep to eat off of. And he'll go through, and he'll see every one of those holes, and he'll take that bottle of hog's oil, and he'll put a circle around that hole of that oil. And what does this do? Well, you see, when a little lamb begins to come to that hole, he does not like the smell of that oil, and he'll just turn away from that hole. And so, therefore, the table was prepared for the lamb. I tell you, God's got a table prepared for us here this morning. We're feasting off the Word of God this morning. I know that it may be staggering, and I know that sometimes that I don't use words just properly, and that's all right. Brethren, it was God that called me to preach, and it was God that gave me the ability to study His Word. And so, brethren, I have to answer to God this morning on the words that I preach. But the Word is prepared. The table's prepared today. Are we feasting off of it, or do we just want to just push away from the table and say, God, I don't want it this morning? There's been a lot of times people's done that. But as I said, He's got that table prepared, and He's wanting you to come and to feast off of His table this morning. But then it says that thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But as we find here, what happens with this oil? Well, you find that it's so hot out in the fields. And a lot of times, even on the camels, a lot of times out in the desert, it gets so hot that they can have sunstrokes if they're not careful. And so what do the shepherd does? He'll take that oil and he'll begin to anoint their heads with that oil, and it keeps them from having a sunstroke. So you see, the Lord will take care of His flock. He'll take care of His people. The heat can destroy them. But as we begin to see here, it says, thou anointest my head with oil. We find that you and I that's been saved, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. And brethren, I tell you, I'm thankful that I've been anointed with that power of God today. And I'm thankful for what He has done for me in my life. He's anointed me with the power and the Holy Spirit of God. You've been anointed here this morning. So that speaks of the Holy Spirit. But then here it says here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That mercy. Brethren, I tell you, when you get saved and born again, He's good to me. And even He shows His mercy even in bad times. You know, you find people dying of cancer, and you find I know a preacher that worked at Mayfield's, and he had cancer, and he was on his deathbed. And you can just imagine when you're there dying, and you say, how is God showing mercy? Brother, and I tell you, this guy still praised God for the life that He had given him. So even in bad times, God still shows mercy and grace, and He still loves us even in bad times. But as I look here this morning, and as I see the scripture, This shows me how truly that God loves you and I here this morning. He loves me enough that he sent his son Jesus to die on the old rugged cross. In just a few moments, we'll be having an altar call. And you see, God loves me. In the Old Testament, over in Joel, the Bible says multitudes, multitudes in a valley of decision. There's people here this morning that needs to make a decision. I don't know your hearts and your lives. I don't know the lives of people in this church. But this is my church family that God has given me. And I love everybody here this morning. But I know there's people here that are hurting, and they need to make decisions this morning. You know, there's people here that needs to join the church. Brother Daniel will be back next week. And if you feel led to do that, then you need to do it. Because there's nothing any better than to know that you're a part of something that's following God and that you can help this church. And I tell you, God's looking for people to help. And this church needs you. But that's between you and God this morning. But the Bible says there's multitudes in that valley of decision. There's people here this morning that's not living as close to God as they need to be. If you want that extra blessing as the shepherd's walking along and he feeds those that are closer. If you need a closer walk with God, you need to come this morning. And if you're here and you've never been saved, you never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, it's as easy as can be. God has to be speaking to your heart. And if he is, you just kneel and say, God, I don't know you as my personal Savior. I want you to become my shepherd. Forgive me for my sins. And the Bible says that he'll cleanse you and forgive you for all this unrighteousness. And the Bible says that you, as he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. That's the only way that you're going to get to heaven. And if you're here as just a church member and you need to pray, then come and pray. But at this time, we're going to go to God in prayer. Father, as we approach the throne of God, we know that the message might have been scattered this morning. But what hope that we have that you will take care of us and you'll lead us, guide us, and direct us in the path that you have us to go. Lord, there's people that are hurting here this morning. Lord, I can't take the pain away. But Lord, you know their needs. You know the life that they live. And Lord, you'll supply all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Lord, I know that you'll take care of the service this morning. Lord, just move in a mighty way this morning. If there's one here that needs to know you from the pre-pardon of sin, Lord, that they'll be willing just to step out and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help us not to be afraid to step out this morning. Lord, we may come to the altar all the time, but that's all right. It's a place where that we can come and find peace with you. So, Lord, we just ask that you move in a mighty way here this morning. We'll be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. Come, every soul, my sin.